been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the Tuesday, October 17th, live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we are doing the show today from Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, a really beautiful place. I don't think I've been to Bloomfield Hills. I've been to Detroit a few times. But boy, it's really, it's a pretty area out here. A little on the chilly side, but it's just beautiful. I'm happy to be here. Met with some great people so far and got a couple of more days of meeting with a lot of folks. Boots on the ground. NASDAQ down 150 today. Why? Too much good news out there. You're buying too much, you shoppers, you consumers. Retail sales off the charts. S&P 500 down 30, 43.42. Dow down 110 to 33.874. Small caps are having a good day. I noticed that. They're up 0.5%, so I wouldn't get too bent out of shape about today's action in the market. Crude oil's up 35 cents to 87.01. Gold is up $6 to 19.41. Silver's up 33 cents to 23.09. Here's the problem today. The 10-year bond up 14 basis points to 4.85 as the bond market sells off and it's back to its low of the year. Let's hope it holds. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And speaking of nationwide, we're in one of the great states of America. We're in Michigan today, Car Central, although there's a lot of disruption here right now. And we've talked to a few people in the industry here and heard what they've had to say, and it's not good, actually. But anyways, we've got good news in the economy today. It's retail sales, which were off the charts, and that is sending bonds lower and interest rates higher. In fact, we're at 4.85. I want to say that is the high. It matches the high of the year. So that puts interest rates up against resistance levels. Hopefully that resistance will hold. And it puts the bond market itself down at support levels, okay? We've tested this area of the bond market about three times this year, and it's held. In other words, it hasn't moved on, marched on to over 5% or towards 5%. It's held this 4.85 area. We'll see if it holds today. Yesterday we had a good day in the market, especially with the small caps, which are doing well again today. The Dow was up 314 yesterday, and the NASDAQ was up 161. I didn't really see any charts that stood out to me, but it was just kind of across the board. And then, of course, today, it's that good news is bad news once again. Where did those retail sales come in at? It was pretty stunning, really. Consumers power on, driving stronger than expected September retail sales. They rose 0.7% to $705 billion. Only 0.3% was expected. So that's a pretty good beat. Core retail sales slowed to a 2% increase, in line with the consensus estimate. Gasoline stations registered the biggest month-over-month increase at 6.7%. Well, we know why gasoline stations, a higher price of gasoline. I don't know if that's figured into retail sales, but I would imagine it is. Followed by electronics and appliance stores, and then health and personal care stores. That's where the strength in the retail business. It looks like a one-off to me. Especially with that phrase there, gasoline stations, kind of standing out to me. I think things will cool off a little bit. And I wouldn't be too worried about today's hotter-than-expected retail sales report. Bank of America has reported this morning. We've got several earnings reports to go through. Very important companies that have reported today. Me, I'm more focused on earnings right now. You know, the interest rates are not a favorable environment, but hopefully we'll hold this 4.85 area, not go any higher, and we'll focus on earnings. Tomorrow we get Tesla, probably the most anticipated earnings report of the earnings season. We'll get Abbott Labs. We'll get ASM. And there's weakness in the chip stocks today. And really the only story I can find is Taiwan Semiconductor. They were going to build the plant, another plant, to meet the demand. They produce about 80%. They're the fab. They're the fabricator of these chips. And the plant, they decided not to build it. They were going to build it in the north area of Taiwan, and the residents didn't like the idea, so they abandoned the project. That's the only news I can find on the chip stocks. But I'm seeing NVIDIA today is down, well, it's come back now. It was down 7.5%. Now it's only down, it's down 5.5%. That's still a big drop. There's big volume on NVIDIA, very big volume. So that's the only news that I see out there on the chips. And then AMD, which was down about 4%, is now down 2.5%. So that must be having some kind of an impact. Or there's other news that I'm not aware of underneath the surface. Most likely maybe a downgrade coming from somewhere, from one of the big firms. That would be the other likely scenario. Tomorrow we get Procter & Gamble's, Travelers, Winnebago, Las Vegas Sands, Netflix. Thursday we get AT&T, Alaska Air, CSX, Freeport-McMoRan, Union Pacific. Friday, Schlumberger, otherwise known as SLB. And that will be 55 S&P 500 companies reporting earnings this week, along with five Dow Jones Industrial Average companies that will also report this week. Well, in the race for the richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos moves into second place. And here he comes on the outside, just a length and a half behind behind our friend Elon Musk. Bezos overtakes Bernard Arnault, who is LVMHF, to be the world's second richest person. Okay, I always like to watch the richest people at race. Bezos' net worth is now $156 billion, $156 billion. But he's pretty far behind Elon Musk. His net worth is $234 billion. Or let's just say a quarter of a trillion, Elon, with his little Tesla idea. Canada's inflation rate falls to 3.8% in September. I just talked to a person in the wood lumber industry. Canada, obviously, is a big provider of that. And we've seen some massive increases in lumber prices, obviously, especially in some of the more expensive woods. But the word on the street is they're still building out there. They're still building. But at some point, you got to think that those mortgage rates up around over 7% have got to catch up. I have seen some projects in our area that are red hot, a lot of anticipation for them. They're not being built right now. That's the first time I've seen this, and I got to believe that it's because of the mortgage situation. It's down to cash buyers at this point in time because a lot of people can't qualify with the mortgage rates where they are. I also talked to two or three mortgage brokers yesterday on the ride to the rental car agency. And I said, how's the business? They said, it's difficult, very difficult right now with the prevailing interest rates. But inflation continues to fall. Canada's down to 3.8%. And if inflation continues to move lower, eventually we'll start to see interest rates move lower. But for now, like I say, we're up at 4.85%. Well, when we come back on the way from the Detroit airport out here to Bloomfield Hills, I passed a lot of Ford and GM buildings. This is the auto capital of America, and at one time of the world. The UAW strike continues. Ford goes on the offensive. I just want to let you know what a few people here that have watched this industry for a long time have to say about the current situation with the UAW. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Ford Motor Company goes on the offensive this week. It's been pretty much the auto workers on the offense and Ford on defense as the strike at key plants continues. Ford Executive Chairman Bill Ford, who, from what I understand, I believe he's the great-grandson, of the of Henry Ford. He's also obviously involved with the Detroit Lions. He urged the United Auto Workers Union to end the 32-day strike and reach a new labor agreement. And he also warned of the growing impact to the Detroit automaker and the U.S. economy. He also defended the company's track record with the UAW. Here's what Ford says. Here's his side of the story. On my watch, he says, Ford is the only automaker to add UAW jobs over the last 15 years. Ford is the strongest partner the UAW has ever known. These are choices we've made, and it's added cost to our business in an industry that is extraordinarily competitive. Well, I would definitely outline and boldface that word competitive. It's a very competitive, thin-margin industry at the end of the day. Every set of negotiations has been challenging, but at the end of the day, we've always recognized that we're all Ford and we will succeed or fail together. He called for an end to the acrimonious round of talks. I don't think the word acrimonious means that they're all getting along, right? Difficult, very heated. And the reaction from the UAW president, Sean Fain, was not conciliatory. If Ford wants to be the all-American auto company, they can pay all-American wages and benefits, he warned. Elsewhere, talks between Stellantis and the United Auto Workers were active on Monday, while nothing new was reported with General Motors' discussion. Well, you know, we've met with a few people already, and one person worked for a big part supplier here in this part neck of the woods, and it went bankrupt. I mean, she literally saw a giant auto parts supplier, which many have. I mean, there's many that have gone bankrupt here. Many are operating under bankruptcy right now. Eventually, you reach a breaking point. Now, it's not that they didn't have sales, okay? It's not that they still, the company that went bankrupt, still didn't have a robust business selling a lot of parts, but you can only charge so much for those parts. And if the expenses catch up with the income and eventually exceed the income, well, you know, private companies are not the United States. They can't print more money. They go bankrupt, and they have to lay everybody off. And, you know, we've seen manufacturing in America. I mean, shoot, you could drive all throughout this area. And if I were to drive home from here and go through Ohio and all the different states between here and my home, lots of clothes plants lots of bankruptcy, lots of manufacturing has left the USA. Now, my background is a money manager and cruncher, number cruncher. My family owned a business. My father owned a billboard business. And I was the chief financial officer for many years of that business. I didn't start out as the chief financial officer. I worked my way up. But I saw the numbers every day, okay? I saw what comes in, what goes out, where it goes, this and that. And it was my job to run a tight ship to keep the company bringing in more than was going out, or we would all be out of a job, okay? So that's my background. And, of course, in this industry that I'm in now, I spend a lot of time looking at numbers. I'm a number cruncher. Income statements, balance sheets, cash flow statements, etc. Now, on the other side of the coin, the United Auto Workers president, Sean Fain, from what I understand, is an electrician by trade, all right? So I don't know. I don't think he ever ran an electric company. I think he's been in the auto business all his life, you know, as an electrician and working his way up. Now he's the head of the UAW, a very powerful union. But I think there's something to be said for folks that have been on the business side of business. They see things from one perspective, and workers who've never ran a business, which I think is the case for most politicians. That's why we have $32 trillion in debt, because they never had to balance. They never had to make a payroll. They never had to stay profitable. And the thing is, I mean, you can only increase. There's two sides to this story, obviously, but you can only increase your expenses so much and then pass it on to the customer until you become non-competitive. You cannot compete with your competition. And as we look at the world today and the competition in the auto industry, I remember when Japan entered the market, you know, probably in the late 60s, early 70s. That totally upended the automobile industry. Now you've got China as a big player in the automobile market. You've got non-union places like Tesla that have a competitive advantage over the legacy automakers. So there's a lot of plates spinning in the air right now. And, I've heard some opinions here that the auto companies will not be able to continue to do business in America if this doesn't get solved, and if it's too much demand by the United Auto Workers Union, they're gonna fold, or they're gonna pack up their tent and go elsewhere. So that's kind of the state of things here in Michigan. I see a lot of empty office buildings. I see a lot of empty plants, etc. It's a very difficult situation. On the one side, you know, you have to stay competitive. You have to control cost. And on the other side, yes, you have to treat your workers and your employees fairly. But there comes a point where there's a breaking point. And I'm afraid that what the United Auto Workers are asking for, wow, that's why this strike is going taking so long, because it's a very difficult. I think the two sides are pretty far apart. Animal Spirits Index say investors are spooked. That's another thing. I mean, if you're in business right now, and if you're in a business that is very transitory and cyclical, like the auto industry, like the building industry, home building industry, you don't really have animal spirits right now, which means, you know, very aggressive, go, 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 let's buy land, let's expand our plants, let's hire more people. That is not the atmosphere that we are in right now in America. Wells Fargo actually has an animal spirits index, which shows investors right now are spooked for the spooky season, with all components falling last month. So I would just say that the United Auto Workers aren't in a very strong position right now, because I don't think that the economy, with what's it cost to borrow money to buy a car right now, and what if the cost of cars done? Very delicate situation. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of the today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market has improved quite a bit. Since we started the show, the S&P is only down 11. It was down 30. The Dow is down just 63 right now. It was down over 100. And the NASDAQ has cut its losses in half. And I'm seeing these chip stocks that were down quite a bit this morning actually rebounding quite a bit. The NASDAQ right now is down just 60. It was down about 150 at one point in time. The 10-year has come back 2 basis points to 4.83. It was at 4.85, but it is up 12 basis points for the day on that stronger-than-expected retail sales report. Okay, let's take a look at some of the... Well, there was big news on Bitcoin yesterday. I don't know if you noticed the big pop there. It looks like there will be some ETFs based on the actual coin itself instead of a trust like Grayscale Bitcoin has. And that was a big, big move for Bitcoin yesterday on that news. You know, the Securities and Exchange Commission lost the court case. Their ruling was overruled, and they decided not to appeal it. It was Grayscale's investment ruling that overturned the regulator's rejection of Bitcoin's Grayscale's bid to launch a Bitcoin ETF. So it looks, and I would imagine there will be a lot more coming after that. Okay, let's take a look at Bank of America. Bank earnings, they've always kind of kick off earnings season every year. Last Friday, it was a very good day for earnings with J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup all beating. And today we got Bank of America up 1.1% as they did beat their earnings estimate. I'm not a big fan of owning the big banks. They have not been very good growth companies. But if you're a value investor, you know, Bank of America's got a P.E. ratio of 8. It's got a dividend yield of 3.6%, but not a very good chart and not very good performance over the years here at Bank of America. Brian Moynihan's company, Goldman Sachs, reports $5.47. They missed earnings by 6 cents. Revenue of $11.8 billion beats by $690 million. Goldman Sachs is down 1.7%. Okay, let's just look at the valuations here. All right, how much upside potential do these stocks have? In the BestStocksNowApp.com, one of the biggest criteria or one of the biggest facts that you can find there is my five-year valuations on these stocks and how much upside potential they have. Right now, I have Bank of America, well, I'm going to say about 75% or so, somewhere in there. But I don't think, what's the growth rate? Probably the growth rate is probably a little bit lower than where the analysts have it at. I'm going to call it about 65 to 70% upside potential. I'll adjust it, after today's report, from Bank of America. You know, I like to see value. I like 75 to 80% or more upside over the next 5 years. But I also like to see some momentum. I like to see some buying. I like to see some popularity. And these stocks
Goldman Sachs has just been dead in the water for a long time. It's got a relative strength of 44 on a scale of 1 to 99, so that's not very good. And so I'm not, it's not on my shopping list. Let's put it that way. Okay, let's look at Goldman Sachs. See if we can make a better case for Goldman Sachs at all. I have 83% upside potential in Goldman Sachs, which I'll be adjusting. But if I look at the momentum side, the performance side of the equation, Goldman Sachs is down 10% this year. It was down 10% last year. It had a good year in 2021 when it was up 41%. But all in all, it's been a pretty poor performer. There's been a lot of talk about the CEO, the current CEO of Goldman Sachs, as to whether or not there needs to be a change made there. But I would say that that's a pretty pretty ho-hum report from Goldman Sachs today. Another big, stodgy old growth stock of yesteryear, which I call soggy, Johnson & Johnson reported earnings today. Their earnings were up 6%, or their sales were up 6%. Their earnings were up 8%. They did beat, but it's a very dull stock once again. You've got a stock that's going sideways. Johnson & Johnson, from a valuation point of view, let's just take a look and see what the upside potential. I have 48% upside potential. Now, that's over 5 years, okay? You know, you can buy a treasury right now, a 10-year treasury, and get 4.9 almost, 4.8% per year. And if you extrapolate out Johnson & Johnson, I mean, that's like 5 or 6% a year with a whole lot of risk versus a U.S. Treasury getting about the same return with a whole heck of a lot less risk than Johnson & Johnson. Johnson & Johnson has more upside potential if they come up with some breakthrough drugs or make some good acquisitions, but right now, it's not a stock I'd be too interested in. It's ranked number 2,948 in my proprietary ranking system out of about 5,800 stocks. So it's right in the middle of mediocrity for me, Johnson & Johnson, J&J. It is, let's see, Lockheed Martin also reporting today. They beat earnings. $6.77. They beat by 15 cents. They beat by quite a bit on their sales number. Lockheed Martin, pretty good move there today. It's up 1.9%. It's been a poor performer, though, very poor performer here recently, very dull stock. Let's just take a look here at what the upside potential is there on Lockheed Martin. Over the next 5 years, I see 81%. That's better. But we'll see what the new numbers look like. It's really been a lack of growth. There's the problem. You know, you look at their last four quarters, their earnings growth has been 3%, 7%, 1%, 8%. So single-digit growth. Stocks follow earnings. It's hard to own a single-digit grower when there's still a lot of double-digit growers out there growing at a much faster rate, but obviously you also have to watch those valuations. Lockheed currently has a PE ratio of 16. I wouldn't call that a bargain either in the defense industry, where stocks usually trade about 16, 17 times earnings. And with very slow growth, there's just not a lot of upside potential there. Not enough anyways to make me too interested in Lockheed Martin. Now, one stock I did notice, I said nothing jumped off the page yesterday. There was one stock that did jump off the page, and I think you should put it on your watch list. Overstock.com, very strange stock over the years. It's been a Bitcoin stock at one point in time. They lost a lot of money for many years. You know, they have a concept of selling on the Internet. At a very cheap price. The stock got down to $2 at one point in 2020 during COVID. It got up to $128 at one point, also during COVID. It's kind of all over the place. But they don't make money. Okay, so here's that problem that we were talking about in the first half of the show about the automakers. You've got to be able to turn a profit. You have to be able to turn a profit on what you sell or why or what on what you make, or you got to stop making it. If you're losing money and draining your cash, well, Overstock is kind of in that position. They've got to turn this thing around or they run out of money at some point in time, like Bed Bath & Beyond or many other bankruptcies that have taken place over the years. Well, there's some people that think Overstock is worthy of potential for a turnaround. And I reported the other day that Marcus Lemonis joined their board of directors. That's a good move in the right direction. At least you've got a business, a real guy who knows how to balance a budget in there. And now you've got an activist investor. They just disclosed in an SEC filing, JAT Capital, that they own a 9.1% stake in the retailer. So it looks like there's going to be an attempt to turn around at OSTK, which right now is a micro-cap stock, very high risk at $800 million of market cap. Okay, when we come back, we'll look underneath the surface. You got to go. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunnarsson here in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. Having a good time here so far, a beautiful part of our country. The market has improved quite a bit since we started the show. And, of course, it was the better-than-expected retail sales report, which is good news. But for the bond market, it's bad news because everybody figures that, you know, now the Fed is going to be on the prowl looking to hike rates again. And that's why you've seen interest rates go up here today. Right now we're sitting at 4.83. We've come down 2 points. Maybe that 4.85 is that resistance level. It can't get through. Hopefully we can hold that level. We're also at a support level on the bond market. It's at the bottom. Interest rates are at the top. That's how that works. Okay, well, let's take a look inside of the markets and see what is taking place today. Not a whole lot. Exxon in the Dow is up 1%. Boeing's up 1%. Chevron's up 1%. Oil has moved to the upside right now. On the downside, it looks to me like the news in the chip industry, which I thought it was already baked into the cake, is the crackdown by President Biden, the Biden administration, as they prepare to cut off China from more chips. I don't think that's new news. I read that news yesterday, but it has caused weakness here today. And maybe Taiwan Semiconductor's decision to not build another plant, at least in Taiwan, they're looking for another place to build one, has something to do also with the sell-off in the chip stocks. Intel's down 2%. Goldman Sachs, bad report, down 1.6%. Johnson & Johnson, bad report, down 1.3%. And that's where that is at. Okay, now let's look at the S&P 500, which got a new member yesterday in Lululemon. NVIDIA is down 4.3%. It's come back quite a bit. It was down 8% earlier when the market opened, and now it's down 4.3%. Bank of Mellon down 4.4%. Moderna down 3.4, Western Digital down 2.6, another chip stock, Broadcom, down 2.3. Who are the winners in the S&P 500 today? Well, VF Corp, VFC, that's kind of an unusual one. They must have reported earnings. It's up 12.1%. They make a lot of uniforms for different sports, VF Corp, VFC.
The biggest winner in the S&P today, up 11.3%. Under Armour, up 5.3%. Well, it's a good day for the athletic apparel makers. Hanes Brand, another one, up 5%. Kohl's is up 5% today, probably on the retail sales report. Etsy, another retail, online retailer, up 3.7%. Dollar General, up 3.7%. Dollar Tree, which brought back their old CEO, looking for a turnaround. Dollar Tree's been under a lot of pressure here recently. And actually, Dollar General is the one that brought back their old CEO. But there's also hopes for a turnaround at Dollar Tree, which is up 3.7%. And then I see some of these stocks that sold off on the Lilly news of their drug working for kidney failure, their weight loss drug. Dialysis stocks really sold off, and they are rallying today. Macy's is up 2.7%. Halliburton up 2.4%, decent day for the oil and gas stocks. And the fertilizer stocks have been on the move recently. I would keep an eye on those. There looks to be maybe some bottoming and some turnaround taking place in CF Industries and Nutrien, NTR, and in Mosaic. And that's about it. Oh, and Corteva would be the other one, CTVA. Now let's look at the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is, Dollar Tree is the biggest gainer in the NASDAQ. I think Big Tech's taking the day off. Hasbro number two, it's up 2.7%. Expedia number three, up 1.9%. Monster Beverage up 1.7%. So you can see that the Big Tech, Microsoft, nowhere to be found here amongst the leaderboard. It's a good news is bad news day. The bad news translates to the bond market where you see interest rates go up. They were up 12 basis points. Right now they're up 10 basis points. The biggest impact, first you begin at ARC Funds. Let's just take a look. She's got to be getting hit pretty hard today. She's actually up today. She must have one of her big holdings that's up. But that's where it begins. The highest PE, longest duration stocks get hurt the most, and then it trickles down into the big stocks, the Microsofts, the AMDs, the Googles, etc. of the world, which will be reporting, for the most part, their earnings next week. That's kind of what is driving the market today. Strong retail sales, weak bond market, higher interest rates, but things have improved since we started here. All right, well, we are meeting with folks today. I'll be watching the charts all day long, watching the market very closely, sending out messages to subscribers and the clients that sign up for those messages, my observations throughout the day. Not a lot, but a few. If I see something that really jumps off the page at me, you can get on our list for a couple weeks to get the messages and everything. At GundersonCapital.com. Go to GundersonCapital.com. Get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. If you'd like to set up an appointment, we've already had some very eye-opening appointments. I'm not a fan of annuities. I'm just not a fan of annuities. They're illiquid. They're expensive. The fees are high. The commissions are high. I think there's better alternatives where there's no commissions. The fees are low. And they're liquid. And they're much more flexible. You know, once you buy an annuity, you're married to it for life, and there's very little flexibility. That's just me. I've explored all the different alternative investments, and I don't like high commission, high expense, and illiquid. They're liquid to some extent, but I would rather maintain full liquidity. Anyways, if you'd like to talk to us, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.